I am under the rock, the rock that's higher than high. Jehovah, hide me, I am under the rock. Go tell my enemies, I am under the rock. Jehovah, hide me, I am under the rock. I am under the rock, the rock that's higher than high. Jehovah, hide me, I am under the rock. Go tell my enemies, I am under the rock. Jehovah, hide me, I am under the rock. I've got my mind made up, won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. Got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. Goodbye, world, I stand no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasure, I will no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way.
Bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's sing the song, I'll walk this path. Let's stand as we sing. Amen.
Chosen the narrow path. You
hearts way. There's a green portion of heaven is waiting for you because of what you decided. That was the prophecy the angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce the great victory in the love divine. I will walk this path in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love may live in me. Oh, I will walk this path. I want this path, in the footsteps of Elohim. I want to get to the end of time. That divine love may live in me. And many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect love. There is not much time remaining to walk in this path. We can already hear the chariot of our beloved one coming to meet us. This path, and I walk this. Oh, in the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love may live in me. Oh, I walk this. And I walk this path in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love may live in me.
Amen. The song says, I will walk this path. You know, that's an act of your will. It's not something that somebody can force you to do. You know, for you to walk that path, you have to desire to walk. You have to choose. And it says it's a narrow path. It's the harder way. It's not an easy path. But I think the blessing of the Lord, like it says in that song, comes on them who will walk that path. Many thanks to the saints for the music and for the items. Let's read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, saints. It won't take long. Just to get a thought from Hebrews 5, verse 7, as we approach communion. Hebrews 5. Let's read from verse 6 up to verse 7. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears And to him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. We'll just read the next one. Though he were a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things that he suffered. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you once again as we approach thee. How we long to fellowship, Lord, that you would lead us into a channel that our communion may be acceptable before thee. Lord, let your blood wash us even now. Let us search ourselves. Help us, Lord, in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Just to take a thought, you know, speaking about the will of God here, from Hebrews 5, verse 7, if we had to say, heard in that he feared. You know, the Bible says Jesus was heard in that he feared. You know, sometimes you really think of a verse and you'll say, but what does that really mean? Why was Jesus heard in that he feared? What did he fear? You know, and why was he heard because of that fear? We know that perfect love casts out all fear. So it's obviously not speaking of that kind of a fear. Now, Jesus wasn't fearing in the way that we'd speak about, you know, you're scared of something. But there was something that he was approaching, and it was his approach to it that really got respect from the Most High. You know, his father really respected him for that. Now, we know from Gethsemane, when he offered up crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. We know he offered up strong crying and strong tears. So obviously, there was something that he was entering into. And he could see that it was the will of his father. But it wasn't an easy thing that he was asked to go into. You know, he could see what it was. And it's, I mean, if you bring it down to ourselves, we're going to get into situations like that where if he's the captain of our salvation who goes before us, and this was the days of his flesh, we're going to get ourselves in situations as well that we can see where the Lord is directly leading us, and we don't want to go there either. Now we can see maybe there's a great price that we have to pay, or you know, there's a cup that we have to drink, or no, there's something that we have to face up to. And left to ourselves, we'd never choose that. And that's why I just wanted to take this thought, because I really found it really interesting how Paul, inspired of the Holy Ghost, uses this phrase, he was heard in that he feared. Because it shows us how to approach the will of God for our lives. Especially it shows us how to approach the will of God when the will of God crosses the path which we don't want to have to face up to. That's why the song that Brother Max there chose was really appropriate. You know, I will walk this narrow path. No, I will. You know, when you come to that stage where, you know, the will of God, in order to get the blessing, you have to willingly accept the will of God. God's never going to force his will upon us. And if you and I want to really be adopted sons and daughters of God, we're going to have to be like Jesus at certain times, that you're going to have to approach things with fear. When we can see what God is expecting of us at a certain season. You know, our natural nature is going to say, we'll try to find every excuse that we can not to go that way. Or not to submit ourselves to whatever it is that the Father's wanting us to do. And by doing that, we think we're getting ourselves out of a difficult situation, but we're losing the blessing. Because this was the path to the resurrection. This was the path that Jesus was taking to the fullness of why he was born. This is what he was born for, but it wasn't easy for him to fully face up to what he had been born for. Now, he was the Lamb, but when it came to that actual having to come to full submission, because the Bible says there, it says, unto him that was able to save him from death. Jesus wasn't praying and saying, Father, I don't want to die. That's not what he's praying, because he knows he's born to die. He knows he's the Lamb of God who has to take away the sins of the world. What that literally means, he was going to have to enter into spiritual death. Amen. You see, he was going to have to partake of hell for us, spiritual death, separation from the presence of God. And he knew that. He knew the will of God was asking him to step into spiritual death. And he was praying and saying, Father, he was asking the Lord, deliver me out of the spiritual death. I've got to go into this trial, but I just, Lord, I'm praying, help me, prepare me, take me through this. I know I have to go through it, but bring me safely out through it the other side. Now, that's really what he was praying for. Jesus wasn't here praying because he knew that, you know, that he was trying to say, I don't want to die. I mean, he wouldn't do that. You know, obviously, to die on the cross, to hang the way that he did and so forth, nobody would want to die that kind of a death. But this was the spiritual aspect. He could see this cup and he knew what he was entering into. And he approached it in a specific way. So it was this spiritual death. It was this separation. It was this that great first Easter that he had to partake of for us. But the way Jesus approached this, you know, many, many times when we see the will of God, we are not respectful towards the will of God. No, we're not. Many, many times we can be stubborn, or many times we can be rebellious, or many times, maybe not by our words, but by our actions, many times we're not happy with the will of God. You know, and we may not say it openly with our lips, but no, the way that we behave ourselves at that time and the things that we do in that kind of a season show, you know, that we're not in the place of full submission yet. But Jesus, when he was approaching unto this, he feared. Now that word feared means he was reverent. He was very cautious the way that he handled this particular situation. And I would say in certain seasons, saints, we need to be very cautious how we handle spiritual things. The will of God for our lives and where God is leading us to. You know, I think, you know, it says angels fear to go where people go with hobnailed boots, where angels fear to tread. It's quite an easy thing to do that. But Jesus, when he was approaching unto this, this word feared actually means, it's if somebody, I might have mentioned it before, but somebody gives you a precious, maybe delicate vessel for you to handle. That's what the will of God is like in here. And you've been given this thing to handle. It's been put into your hands. And you have to handle this thing very carefully because you don't want to break it. You don't want to mar the something that's been entrusted to you. And if you just mishandle this thing, you're going to break this thing. That's what it means to fear. It means you handle something very carefully. Because you realize the importance, you realize the preciousness of that. And Jesus, when he entered into this great trial, as he went into Gethsemane, he saw what the will of God was. And the will of God to him was the most precious thing. This was the most precious thing. Though this cup contained, you know, the horrors that we couldn't ever believe. But to him, when the will of God was being shown to him, he handled it very carefully. No, he was very respectful. And even when he prayed, he didn't go and say, "Father, I don't want to do this." He says, "Abba, Father." You know, that's the most intimate term you can use for God. That's like saying, "Papa." No, he's approaching God in this way and he's saying, "Papa, if it be possible, that somehow this cup could pass from me." My, that's a real lesson for us to learn there. The way he approached those junctions in his life, the way he approached those important decisions that he needed to make, and you know, when there's an expectation upon him of the way that he should behave and the way that he should handle certain things, he knew at this kind of a time, I don't need just to enter into this any kind of a way. I've got to handle this thing carefully. And he approaches it reverently because he was the Lamb. And Jesus was always the Lamb. He always had the nature of a Lamb. So whenever there was something that the dove would come and reveal to him, he was very careful with what the dove was revealing to him. Because he was a Lamb. He was very meek in those things. And he always, Jesus, had the spirit of sonship. It was always Father. And it doesn't matter, it was always Abba, Father. Now he always maintained, even in the difficult parts when he was going into those things, the most important thing, I need to maintain my relationship with this, my Father. Now I've got to protect this. It doesn't matter what I've got to go through. It doesn't matter I'm going to hang naked before the people. It doesn't matter what people are going to think about me. It doesn't matter all the false things people are going to say. That wasn't important to him. The most important thing to him is, I've got to be careful how I handle the will of my Father. This is the most important thing to him at this junction. And friends, to any child of God, I think that's a very that's a healthy way to live your life. That when spiritual things and spiritual decisions and, you know, those junctions in the road, where maybe you can see sometimes that, hey, this isn't going to be easy. You know, to approach it in that kind of a way. You know, and that's really what I love about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the prophet once, if you're listening, warning then judgment. There came a time, you know that story of the woman who should have died and then, you know, she lived. And then the prophet went to pray for her in the hospital and then after that she died. And the prophet says, I don't know what caused me to do it. But I said, Lord God, you owe me an understanding. When that lady died, the prophet went to the Lord and said, Lord, you owe me an understanding. Yay. And the prophet says, I don't know what caused me to do it. But you owe me an understanding after me going and telling the husband and him coming to the Lord. And then you take the girl's life like that. I said, you owe me an understanding. The prophet says, when you tell God something like that, He'll leave you sitting alone. You've got to be careful the way you approach the things of God. It doesn't matter who you are. You may be the prophet to the age. Now, Jesus was great, much greater than that. He's the virgin-born Son of God. He's the Lamb. And when the will of God came past His way, and He saw this is something to do with my adoption. This is something to do with the purpose that I was born. He was very careful the way that He approached God. He was very careful how He handled that situation. The prophet says, when you do that, He'll leave you sitting alone. He doesn't owe me nothing. I'm in debt to Him. And He just let me pout it out for a few days, you know. And after about 3 or 4 months, one day I was on the creek bank and the Lord spoke to me in a vision. Amen. And the prophet goes on to say, but if I had have approached Him the right way at that time, He would have revealed it to me. No, so there's really something important about approach, friends. Amen. But sometimes where we let it down or we let the Lord down is when we get to these, you know, crises, when we get to these critical junctions in the road. Now, when you get to these things that maybe determine a lot, because Jesus knew so much is going to be determined by the way I handle this, by the way I conduct myself at this time. You know, what I do with this cup is going to determine so much of the future and so much of what I'm supposed to be and so much of what I'm supposed to do is tied up in this. And that's why He handled it so carefully, friends. And I think that's a real, real example that the Lord gives to us. Because the Bible says this was in the days of His flesh. This was in His humanity when He was showing us the way. When He was learning obedience as a son. So the prophet says, and then when the Lord came down, He says, then I got down and I cried and I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Your poor, stupid servant. I should never have said that, Lord. And I'm sure you've had to say that to the Lord a few times, and me as well. When these things come that we don't want, or things happen to us that we didn't expect, or we can see, but Lord, You're wanting me to humble myself here, or You're wanting me to do this, or You're wanting me to whatever that it is, you know. And as a natural person, Jesus as a man, he could see that I don't want to let my humanity override the will of God here. Now I need to handle this real reverently because now I want to maintain my relationship. I want to maintain my respect for the will of God. I want to do this cautiously. I want to approach this reverently. And I think that's the best way that we should approach the things of God. You know, when we come now and we see the blood that was shed for us and we see the broken body, we see the price that was paid that Easter. Now we start to think about what actually Jesus went into. You know, to really come to the place of perfect obedience requires great self-sacrifice. You know, it's not easy to come to perfect obedience to God. There's got to be great sacrifice. And Jesus had to endure things. He didn't do anything wrong. But this was the way that the road led Him to go. This was the path of the bloody footprints. Yet He had done nothing wrong. And He knew they're going to spit in my face. They're going to pluck out my beard. They're going to plow my back like a field, like the Bible says. No, they're going to beat me with rods. They're going to mock me. They're going to say, prophesy if you be the Son of God. No, they're going to say, if you a king. And they took the scarlet robe and first they lash Him until His back is plowed up. And then they put the scarlet robe on his bloody wounded body. Then they put the crown of thorns. We saw those thorns in Israel. Those long Christ thorns, long thorns. They crushed it in His head. But then they took a rod and put it in His hands. Those Roman soldiers then bowed down to Him and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And then they took the same rod and they beat Him on the head with the same rod. And then they took that robe and they pulled it off His bloody back. Where all the blood has congealed and that cloth, you know, has gone right in, and then they open up the wounds again. And the Bible says He opened not His mouth. My friends, that's a serious thing. It's not an easy thing to perfectly do the will of God. It requires self-sacrifice. It requires that you've got to lay yourself there upon the altar. Sometimes you've got to get to Gethsemane like Jesus. Now, sometimes you've really, really, really got to lay yourself there and say, but Lord, you know, if I could choose the way, I never would have chosen this, but Lord, this is important to you. So if this is important to you, then this is important to me. And that's the way that he approached it. And Jesus, and they took him, you know what they did? He had to carry his cross, and then they hung him naked before the people. And he's hanging there, and all the people are gathered around Psalm 22 like the bulls of Bashan. They gape at me, and they're saying, if God delights in you, let him bring you down, let him come down from the cross, and all the things that they said. But to Jesus, there was one thing that was important: handling the will of God. That was the most important thing to him. What does my Father desire? What is pleasing to him at this time? And that's why when he approached, he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Oh, friends, that's the acid test of Christianity. Now, we may be saved, but to come to adoption, these are the junctions in the road that determine a lot. Now, when everything inside of you is saying, ah, and you got to be careful because you can rebel in those kind of seasons. You got to be careful because you can become stubborn in those kind of seasons. If you're not reverent and watchful, if you don't approach that the right way, if you don't handle it with fear, handle it cautiously with a submission to say, but Lord, I want to be careful here. Lord, now you show me what it is that you want to be done in my life. And friends, this, like the prophet says, this Laodicean age, you know, people can manifest a lot of things. There can be great anointings, great gifts, and powerful things. But the prophet says, how many people are really submissive to the will of God? How many people have really put themselves in that position that God can strip them? That God, because the lamb has to be sheared of its wool. You know, just to lay there and let the Lord shear your reputation off you. Shear, you know, your precious thoughts, your precious desires. Let the Lord just shear all that wool off you. Friends, it's not an easy thing. And to Jesus, it wasn't easy either, but he knew, I've got to approach this with fear. This is a delicate thing. This is the most important thing here. Let me be very careful how I handle this which my Father is committing to me at this time. Well, friends, that's what Paul is telling us there. Jesus was heard. And that's why he was heard, because of the way that he approached it. That's why the angel came down and strengthened him. And that's why the power of the resurrection struck him in the tomb and raised him up on the third day. He was delivered out of death, because that's the thing that he desired. He wasn't trying to say, Father, I don't want to go through this trial. Although he didn't, as a man, he wouldn't have wanted to. But what he was saying is, Father, I want you to deliver me through this trial. I want to come out the other side, you having done your will. I want to come out the other side and you be pleased with the way that I've conducted myself, or the way that I've handled myself in the midst of this situation. And I think that's the key, friends. You know, in those kind of times, like we said, when you get to those junctions in the road, that's why it's such a vital thing to spend much time in his presence. No, to spend much time being a lamb and just laying yourself there, and you know, letting your ambitions and your own thoughts and your own human, you know, tendencies, let them be pacified in the presence of God. And let his will become real, and let his fellowship in your soul become real, so that when you weigh things in the balance and you see, but you know, as a man, this is not going to be easy, but you say, but oh, now this is the will of my Father. That's the most important thing that I need to do. Now that's why he was heard, in that he feared. Let's also just look at John 12 again, because it speaks of a similar principle once again. Just to show that Jesus, when he went through what he went through, no one forced him to do it. It was perfectly an act of his will. He chose that because that pleased his Father. That was the way that he was supposed to go. In John 12, verse 27, when Jesus is there, we know the scripture well, but look just how Jesus gets caught in the middle here. He says, now is my soul troubled. You know, so those kind of junctions, those kind of times, they can be real important times. Your soul might be troubled. No, because you can feel there's something inside, and you know, but hey, this isn't an easy situation. This isn't an easy time inside of my life. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Like we've said before, that's the first thing that he looks at. He starts looking to say, Father, save me from this hour. Is it possible you can save me? Then he says, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Then he realizes, but no, this is the very purpose to which I was born. This isn't just a mistake for me to come to this time. This isn't just something that's just happened by chance. This has been ordained since the foundation of the world. Unto this world was I born. I was born to face up to things such as this. And not just to face up to them, but I was born to go through things like this. And that was the will of God. And that's why he says, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. You know, so it's weighing up these two things. You know, I've spoken of it before, but it's very real the way that Jesus did that. Because he was caught between these two things. The one thing was to go into death, spiritual death. That was unthinkable for him. Now to step into that. Now you think of what it was him to be separate, to die out of the presence of God. He had never known that. He had always been in the presence of God. He was always filled with the glory of God, ever since the Jordan. He didn't know what that was, and to become sin and to be separated from God, that was unthinkable to him. And when he weighed that in the balance, hey, how can I do this? How can I become sin? And then on the other hand, he looks and he says, but this is the will of my Father. And he's examining both of them, and he's looking at this unspeakable price he has to pay, and he says, but I can't do that. Father, save me from this hour. Then he looks on the other side, but then I'm not going to listen to my Father, and that's even more unthinkable. And he's caught between these two things. That was a rough part of the journey, friends. It wasn't an easy part, because either way that he's going to go. But to him, when he balances it all in the great balance, when he sees one way he's got to go through that which is unspeakable and that which is unthinkable, and on the other hand, he's got to disobey his Father. To him, it's no choice at all. He'll never disobey the Most High. He'll always be a lamb. He'll always be a son. Though he's on the cross, he'll still say, my God, my God. You know, that was the attitude that he had. And friends, that sonship, that's the real somebody really born of the Word of God. That's somebody who doesn't allow the flesh to govern them, doesn't allow the outward man to govern them. But Jesus had to go through Gethsemane. He had to go and pray. He had to get earnest about the situation. Showing friends that it wasn't an easy part of the journey that he had to go through. But he came through it. And that's why he says, what shall I say? You know, it's like, it's Jesus as a man speaking. What shall I say? Now, have you never been in that situation? I'm sure all of us have. And he looks at these two situations. But in the end, there's only one choice that's acceptable. And that's to do the will of God. And that's to fulfill what he was born for. No matter the price, no matter what he has to go through, this is what I was born for. Unto this was I born. That's what he says. And friends, you and I were born for something as well. You were born to fulfill the will of God. Now there's going to be times that it's full of glory. There's going to be times that it's full of honor. There's going to be times that you rejoice in it. But there's going to be other junctions in the road that it's not that easy. That it's not something that you ever would choose. It's not something that you want to go through. But if you really, really believe that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, you don't get to certain junctions and certain times and certain circumstances in your life just by chance. Nothing happens to a believer by chance. God is behind every move, the prophet says. So he's brought you to that junction. But now it's your will. What are you going to do with that? You don't have to do it. Jesus didn't have to do it. The song says he didn't have to do it, but he did. He did it. Because he chose it. Because you have chosen the narrow path. You have chosen the harder way. There's a great portion of heaven awaits you. Yeah. That's why I say perfect obedience requires great sacrifice. You know, one of the greatest examples when Abraham came down, when the Lord came to Abraham and said, go and sacrifice your son. It's what I always think of. And I say, for him to so perfectly obey like he did at that time. Not a word of objection. Not a word of reasoning. Now, he could have said, Lord, I'll give you anything else, but please, not my son. This is the most precious thing. I've waited these 25 years for my son. He could have said, Lord, I'll give you all of the flocks out in my fields. Lord, I'll give you all of my servants, whatever it is. He never did that. The Lord came down and said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son that you love, and go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering upon the mountain that I'll show you. And God made sure that it wasn't just a spontaneous thing, because it was 3 days' journey, and then he saw it afar off. That was a trial, friends. This man, that's why he's called a friend of God. And this was the maturity of Abraham. God had brought this man to this maturity that somehow when the word came to him and spoke to him and said, Abraham, go and sacrifice your son because it pleases me. Maybe in that kind of a way. Abraham could just sense inside of himself, I don't understand this. But this is important to Jehovah. There's something here that I may not understand. I may not see the full implications of what it means at this time. But this is important. I can sense it in my soul that this is important to him. So let me handle it with fear. Let me be careful. And he gets up early the next day. And he doesn't get other people involved in that. Because he knows, I don't want to confer with flesh and blood. Now Paul says, when the revelation was made to me, I never conferred with flesh and blood. Because he realized, this is the Lord personally dealing with my soul. This is God personally leading and guiding me. I need to be careful. I don't want to get people that are in the flesh involved in this now, because it's not going to help. It's going to complicate this situation. So he doesn't go and tell Sarah. He doesn't tell Eliezer. He doesn't tell anybody else. And he goes. And to show that he senses in his soul that this is something important. We know what it is. It was a type of Calvary. It was a type of Easter. That's what he was being asked to take a part in. And he could sense in the spiritual realm, you know, like when Brother Biskel speaks of being in that vision with the prophet of the brown bear, and the grizzly bear, and the 42-inch horns, and the green checkered shirt. And he says, you just felt you were caught up in a great spiritual vortex. You could just feel, he says, I didn't know the vision was being fulfilled, but you could just feel something beyond yourself. You could just feel in the heavenly, something's taking place here. He says, and only when Brother Bud measured and his son Blaine and said, it's 42 inches. Then Brother M touched him on the shoulder and says, that's it. Then Brother Biscuit says, oh, this was the vision. But you could feel something was coming together. Something was happening in the spiritual realm. Maybe you couldn't see it, understand it fully, but you could sense, and I'm sure Abraham felt like that. And when he was walking up the mountain, he puts the wood on Isaac's back, and Isaac is pecking the wood. And maybe Abraham doesn't realize what all of this means, but there must have been such a presence that was there. There must have been such a spiritual reality of something, because Abraham was walking in this great redemptive purpose and plan and vision. And Abraham could just sense it, that, oh, Jehovah's asking me to pay such a price like this. To take this most precious thing, this thing that I've waited 25 years, and to go and lay it upon the altar. And to take the knife myself. I have to be the priest. I have to see him laying there in the altar, looking in my eyes. And I have to plunge the knife into his bosom. And I have to offer him as a burnt offering. It's one of the greatest acts of obedience in the Bible outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I say, obedience needs great sacrifice. That was a supreme sacrifice. And that's when the third pull came down. When God says, I can so much associate with you because you're so much associating with the way that I feel about things. Amen. That the spoken word dropped down. And Isaac says, you can imagine him looking at his father so innocent, saying, my father, my father. Here's the wood and here's the fire. But where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And you can imagine as a man what it did to Abraham's heart at that time. Now, when you look down at this most beloved son, Isaac. But friends, he was hurting that he feared. He thinking, you know, this is a precious thing. I need to handle this thing very carefully. Let me not get other people involved. Let me not get myself, you know, let me not take any time. Let me get up early in the morning. And to show how important it was to him, he went himself and he cut the wood. It says Abraham went and cut the wood. He could just feel it in himself, then, no, I need to handle this entire situation myself because this is important to Jehovah. And then he gets up there and the son says it to him and something strikes Abraham. The prophet says that super anointing. In that kind of a situation. And he says, my son, God will provide for himself a ram for a sacrifice. Oh, friends. That's when the blessing comes. And then he goes and he takes the knife. He's about to do it. He's already done the deed in his heart. He's already resolved in his will. I'm going to do it. 3 days before he's resolved, he's going to do it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done what he did. And then the angel catches his hand. And there comes one of the greatest blessings in the Bible given to mortal man. And he says, Abraham, now I know that you love me. Now I know you've proved that you love me. You were willing to sacrifice everything to be obedient to me because you saw it was pleasing to me. You were willing to take that thing which was the most pleasing to you. And you were willing to lay it as a burnt offering to please me. This is Abraham, now I'm blessing. I will bless you. And I'll bless your seed. And in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you've done this thing. Because you chose this narrow path. Because you approached the will of God with such a reverence and a submission and a respect and a fear. Because Abraham, you saw that it was important to me. You sensed it in your soul that although you didn't understand that junction in your life, you didn't understand the fullness of what I was asking you to go through, but it was so important, Abraham, to me. Because I was expressing to everybody what I'm going to feel like, you know, so many hundreds of years in the future, when I have to take the most precious thing to me, which is my son. And Abraham, it's not going to be the same as you because I'm not going to substitute my son with a ram caught in the thicket. My son, my beloved son, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm going to make him go through it the right way. And it's not just going to be a sacrificial knife through his bosom. It's going to be death, spiritual death. I'm going to pour out my wrath. I'm going to pour out my anger against sin. I'm going to pour out my judgment of the sins of my elect. I'm going to pour it out upon his soul. Well, friends, it's a serious thing when you think about Easter. And Abraham was asked by God in his day to enter into that channel in some way. And to walk with God for a season in that channel. That supreme channel of redemption like that. Our friends, there's important times God asks us to walk through. And maybe God's redemptive dealings with you about certain things. Maybe about the office that you hold or the position or the gift that God has given you. Or you know, something for your future or something that God wants to bless your family. Or you know, there's something that God wants to do down the line of redemption. And he draws near to you and he's asking you to be prepared to make that sacrifice. To come to a full obedience. But he never forces it on us. It's not acceptable if he forces it on us. He never forced it upon Jesus. So he's never going to force it upon us. This is an act of your will. You have to desire to do it. You have to look the options and weigh them in the balance and say, but yes, I could have my way. You know, I could go my own way. I could be like Jonah. I don't have to go to Nineveh. I can go to Tarshish instead. And you can make your own decisions. But you'll never get the blessing.
Amen. Amen.
And as soon as you're going on that road, you'll know it inside of yourself.
Amen.
This isn't the way. This isn't the way. This will never.
Amen.
This will never qualify me for that adoption. This will never qualify me for what he's called me to be.
Amen.
But when you get to those junctions, and he asks you to lay it all down, and say, go and lay it on the altar.
Amen.
Maybe precious to you. But because it pleases me, die to it.
Amen, amen.
Let it die.
Amen.
And you look at it and it's not easy. And you've got to get Gethsemane a little bit. And you throw yourself on the ground and you say, Father, Abba, you know, if it's possible. It's not easy, Lord. Is there some other way? But nevertheless, let me be reverent, let me fear. Not my will, but thine be done. And then the dove comes down and says, it pleases me. That's what I'm asking you to do. And there's an act of the will, and something changes in the inner man. And maybe the natural man was reasoning and making its own, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to whatever. And then you give opportunity for your soul to speak. You give preeminence to the word, the seed of the word in you. And you get yourself in Gethsemane. And then the dove speaks to you and says, that pleases me. And then there's something changes in your bosom. And those are the greatest victories that a believer can win. Far greater than Napoleon conquering the world or Alexander the Great conquering the world at the age of 33. When you conquer that something in your bosom, in those kind of times, and you make that decision, those eternal decisions, and heaven's expectation is upon you, and God is so much feeling, make that decision, and you make it, and the blessing comes through. Oh, friends, that kind of fellowship. Like I always say, imagine Abraham when he came down the mountain that day. I always, that's the most wonderful feeling, those kind of times. The prophet says, possessing the gates of the enemy after trial. Yeah, God says, your seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. And Abraham coming down, and he still got that most beloved thing in his hand in hand, Isaac. And God's given it back to him and says, yes, Abraham, you are prepared to give it to me. I give it back to you with the fullness of the blessing. Ah, friends, that's what he calls us to. Because we are part of his side. We flesh of his flesh and blood of his blood and word of his word. The prophet says life of his life. You know, we, like I said, Brother Vinod says, the matching piece to the masterpiece. You know, we are the second, the last Eve that came out of him. So the potential is in us. Just as much as the potential was in him. But Jesus, he had to fear. He had to approach it a certain way. Those specific critical junctions in the road. He was very careful. He was very cautious the way that he handled that precious object, which is the will of God. And the most precious thing in your life is the will of God. And the most precious thing to me is the will of God. And friends, if we are the seed of Abraham, we're going to look after that and say, but Lord, you're going to have to help me here because this is precious. I don't want to handle this thing and break the preciousness of this vessel that you've given unto me, but not handling it the right way. But Jesus was heard in that he feared. He approached it in that kind of way. And that's how we're saying this morning, friends, without prayer, not without really laying yourself before the Lord, I don't see how it's possible to live that kind of a life. You know, just to go into things without prayer. Important things. Important decisions. Important things that need to be done. Just to step into those things like that. Not only are you going to trample on the will of God for your life, but on the will of God for other people's lives as well. You know, we need to be careful. We need to approach the things with a reverent submission. That's what that word means as well. To approach it in that way, to say, Father, you know my thoughts, Lord. This isn't easy for me. If there was some way, Lord, I would choose another way. But Father, if there's no other way that your will can be done, if this is what pleases you in my life at this time, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's a life that God will bless. And that's why the Bible says he humbled himself. Took on the form of a servant. Jesus wasn't a servant. He's the God of heaven. But he was prepared to take on the form of a servant. To wash his disciples' feet. The prophet says to do the job of a foot wash flunky. The lowest paid of all the slaves was the one who washed the feet of the visitors and the guests. And Jesus there at the Last Supper. He took the bowl. He girded himself. He went and he washed the feet of the creation that he had made, the dust. He says he took on the form of a servant and then he humbled himself. Amen. To the death of the cross. Yeah. To hang naked before the people. Humbled himself. And it says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, friends, what a reward. And to show who he is, he receives this reward. He goes, he gets his throne. And then he comes to us and he says, come, follow me. Overcome like I overcame. And you shall sit with me in my throne. Just as much as I overcame and seated in my Father's throne. Friends. He says, just come and follow my footsteps. Come and do it the way that I did it. I'm the captain of your salvation. Approach it the way that I approached it. The potential's in you. You are the Word just as much as I'm the Word. You came from the mind of God just as much as I came from the mind of God. I am the first fruits. I've shown you the way. Our friends, he left us an example. And as we're coming now to partake of the wine and the bread, our friends, what does it speak about? Look what he did for us. That blood, the most precious blood, the Bible calls it the blood of God. It dripped out of his veins. It poured out of the wounds. It spilt. This isn't speaking when we drink it in the cup. This is my blood that is shed for you. My, it's not just the blood that was in his veins, but he shed that blood. He was willing to be obedient unto the shedding of his blood. The life that was in him, that life stream. And he says, take this bread and eat it. This is my body broken for you. Ah, friends. I don't want to say it, but sometimes somebody will just step on our toes. And it's hard for us. Somebody will just speak something which we don't like. And friends, we want to claim all of our rights in life. Somebody will do something to us or do something to our family or say something against what we believe. Amen. You know, friends, I want to be like Jesus in those situations. Amen. I want to be like him. Amen. I want to approach it with fear. Amen. You know, when that guy, whatever his name was, Shimei, when David was going up the Mount of Olives, and Shimei took the dirt and the rocks and was throwing it at him and said, you bloody man! You bloody man! God is visiting your sins upon you and so forth. And I think it was Joab took out his sword. And he says, this dog is going to be dead. How can he cast dust upon my Lord, the king? And David said, leave him alone. Maybe God told him to do it. And maybe God will hear his words and bring the blessing upon me. Friends, that was a type of Christ. David going up the Mount of Olives was a type of Christ, the rejected king. And David was playing his part. And he said, maybe God will look down upon me in my afflictions. I have every right. I can get someone to take the sword and take vengeance on my behalf. But David knew as well that he wasn't guiltless. He knew why he was walking up that mountain. He knew what he had done to Bathsheba. He knew what he did to Uriah the Hittite. Amen. And he was walking up there and he says, maybe God told him to do it. Amen. Just be still. Leave it like that. Oh, friends. He did it with fear. He was cautious the way that he handled those junctions in time when God was maybe trying him or God was doing something in his life which is going to bring him back to the throne in the end. He was being a type of Christ. Friends, I really do believe that we need submission. And submission is self-sacrifice. And you can't have obedience without sacrifice. You can't. There's no way you can obey the will of God without laying aside and sacrificing certain things that get in the way of the will of God. The prophet that time, he didn't want to forsake his relationship with his mother-in-law. He hadn't yet learned the fullness of obedience that he learned later, and then the third pull came. But he looked at things and he saw the will of God and he thought, I don't want to offend this lady. Friends, and then he went there to South Africa and there's the Ministerial Association and then he listened to them and he got himself caught in that trap, you know, the way they were. And then he learned his lesson. And he says, I'm never going to make that mistake again. This road is only big enough for you and Jesus, he says. Nobody else can walk with you on these sacred sands. Especially in those crises and times of decision like that. He says there's no room apart from you and Jesus. It's just you and Him. And friends, it's good for us to keep it like it. Doesn't mean we don't listen to advice. Doesn't mean we don't listen to other people. I think I made it clear on that. But I mean, when it comes to those decisions where God has revealed His will spiritually and you sense and feel it inside of your soul, that this is what God is expecting of me at this time. Let's approach it with fear. Let's be careful how we handle those parts in the journey, because you may not realize how important those parts are for you. You don't realize maybe if you just go through that one, what God has in store for you just down the way. That's all this for a purpose. So as we partake of communion, let's think of these things. That He was heard and that He feared. You know, in the days of His flesh. Strong crying and tears. He was God as a man. But to get Himself and to stay in that channel of submission, that took strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death. And He was heard in that. When we went to Gethsemane this time in Israel, I was so moved in Gethsemane. Because I was thinking of those things, about these times of decision in your life. You know, those times where as a man you'd want to make a certain decision, but you know that's not the will of God. And when we got there to Gethsemane, and there's the old, ancient olive trees. And then there's the rock that's there. And they said, that's where Jesus, the prophet says, cast Himself upon that stone and prayed. Ah, just so much moved me. I said, Lord, all these places like Gethsemane are so important. At these certain junctions, we have to pass through these kind of places. And as long at the end of the Gethsemane experience, something can be said. Not my will, but Thy will be done. All will be well, friends. It has to come out well in the end. It has to. It may not work in the time frame you thinking it should work. It may not unfold it in the way that you thought it should unfold itself. But that kind of an attitude in those kind of times, it's going to bring the blessing. It's going to bring the fullness of what God has in store for you. Those are important parts in the journey, friends. And at this time, let's submit ourselves as we remember the blood, as you remember His body that was broken, His blood that was shed, as you remember the price of His obedience. This speaks to us. Look at obedience. Look what it cost Jesus. Obedience, His obedience wasn't to cheap something. It cost Him the supreme price. And not in that, but He died out of the presence of God. He stepped into death for us, spiritual death. The horrors of death without the blood, without grace. You have to step into it and taste it for us. The price of obedience can be great sometimes, friends. But it's worth it in the end. And God will never put upon you more than you're able to bear. But with the trial, He'll always make a way of escape. And if you're prayerful, if you submit, God will minister you through that situation. He will save you out of death. He will take you through the trial and deliver you out the other end. Because God, He doesn't lead your footsteps to go where He doesn't have a purpose in you treading that path. Let's stand, friends. Let's just read our communion scripture before we put ourselves a little bit before the Lord to search ourselves. As we just think of this, He was heard in that He feared, His reverence and His respect. Let's read Matthew 26. Let's read it from verse 20. In fact, we read it from 17 because it's the beginning of that section. It says, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, that was Easter time, saying unto Him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And He said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, He sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, He said, verily I say unto you, one of you will betray me. It wasn't easy. Now He knows what He has to go through. I mean, it's amazing. He knows, He walks into it, He knows this isn't going to be easy. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be betrayed with a kiss. It's not going to be easy. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto Him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes as is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, you have said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave it to the disciples, and said, take and eat. This is my body. Amen. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I'll not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they'd sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. He went to Gethsemane. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this bread, Lord, and we thank you for this wine. We thank you for what they represent, Lord. Father, our redemption. Father, we thank you for your body that was broken. We thank you for your blood that was shed. Please bless them up unto us even upon this day. And Lord Jesus, as we partake and as you wait upon thee, may you be glorified. Father, lead us and guide us and teach us your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just have a short time of prayer. Let's just wait upon the Lord ourselves, saints, just to search yourself if there's anything which you just want to make right before the Lord. Father, just bringing ourselves up into the even our Lord. And just wanting to submit. Let's just read from Corinthians as well. First Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. May the Lord bless our communion.
Jesus, I surrender to him. I freely give. I will live a life and trust in him. Surrender, oh.
surrender. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, link me, Savior, holy thine. Let me feel know that thou art mine. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. All to thee, my Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Thy heart and power, thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender now. I feel the sacred flame. Oh, joy of salvation, Lord, bring glory to His name. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all.
We seriously pray that it's not just a song. Because that's all encompassing. I surrender all. When the Lord tells you he doesn't want you to marry that specific person, or the Lord says, you know, I don't really want you to go down that line in your life, it takes grace to say, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. Let's read the book of John, saints, as we come to foot washing. John chapter 13. We read from 12. We know the scripture very well. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And we're happy to do it today, saints. Let's wash one another's feet. Our sisters to come this side, brothers to come this side, and God bless.
Sacrifice his life, oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory to bring to us redemption's story. Then he died, but he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad. So glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. So glad he did. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be if Jesus didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did.
Oh, but I'm glad,
so glad he did.
Since it's finished with one more, may the Lord bless everyone on the way home. Have a good holiday tomorrow. I'm sure everybody's enjoying their rest. And keep us in prayer. That's the most important thing.
Sing when the saints go marching in. Amen.
Amen. I ask Brother Scott to come and close for us, please, after this, Brother Dave.
I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin. On my way adversity, when the saints go marching in,
oh, when the saints,
when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want been that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, I know I'll see my Savior if my life is free from sin. Heaven's door will open for me when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. When we gather around the throne and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting glory, glory when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Oh, when the saints,
oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads, saints.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Merciful Heavenly Father, Lord, yes, how so much we thank you for your grace, for your mercies, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father God, that, Lord, at a time like this, Lord, when the world all around us, Father God, Easter means something else to them.
Amen, Lord.
But Father, you saw it fit in your eyes.
Amen.
Father, that you'd bestow grace and mercies upon us, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Father God, we so grateful, Lord, and we say it with humility.
Yes, Lord.
That you'd bless us in such a way, Lord, that we'd be such a privileged people.
Oh, Lord.
To know you, Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, not only to know, but to know your love for us, O Lord.
Amen.
Father, what a comfort it is to know that your thoughts towards us doesn't change, Lord, depending on what we do or what we say, Lord Jehovah God.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Father God, but you just loved us, Lord.
Amen.
It was nothing to do with us. It was all to do with you, O God.
Amen.
Father, how we thank you for that. We thank you for your plan of salvation for us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, that you'd send down your own son. You'd come down yourself, O Lord.
Amen.
Father, you didn't trust anyone else with their job. Father God, and today we are here.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, for today we have done your will. For you said, forsake not the assembling together.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and what a blessing it was to be in your presence. What a blessing it is to be here now, Father.
Oh, yes.
Lord, that you'd start the day with us, Lord, and till now you're still with us, O God.
Oh, Lord.
Heavenly Father, and the thing we desire now, Lord, Father, we're better armed, we're better prepared, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Because your word has brought light upon the enemy and his tactics, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, our hearts are soft, O Lord.
Amen.
Father, our hearts are yielded to you, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, so have your way. Do your will, Lord.
Amen.
And Father God, when we even when we depart from this place,
Amen.
May your Holy Spirit continue, Lord,
Amen.
To brood over us, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, to whisper, Lord, your love story unto us,
Amen.
Lord. Even that of salvation.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, give us grace and mercies, Lord. Undertake
Please, Lord.
For us. You know our every needs.
Amen.
Oh, Father, but what we desire most at this time, Lord,
Yes.
is just, Lord, unity.
Amen.
Father God, not to be united, Lord, just in the flesh.
Amen.
But, Lord, our souls, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
yes,
our souls Lord, belong
yes,
to you.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
And,
yes,
Father Lord, God, yes, we want to mend them even closer to thee.
Yes.
So we ask, oh Lord,
Father, even as Satan has been exposed.
Amen.
Father God, let us bind even closer together. For you yes. said, Lord, in your word.
Amen.
That, Lord, how sweet and how pleasant it is yes, for brethren Lord. To dwell together in unity, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Father,
Lord.
Just yes, grant Lord. It, Lord.
Please, Father.
Father, where there's contention, Lord, there's nothing which is impossible for you.
Amen.
May you go before, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, to break down, Lord, whatever barriers may be there.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, may your spirit just bring a true unity in our midst, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Father
Lord.
God, yes, that the time yes, that we lost, Lord Jehovah God, Amen. Fretting over this and fretting over that.
Amen.
Father God, you'd give us grace to give yes, Satan Lord. Back even more than what he tried to do unto us.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
yes,
we want Lord. To do your will. We want to get back on track, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, to follow your commission, oh Lord.
Amen.
Father, there's many souls out there that are yearning and dying, Lord, over God in the world.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Father, Lord, give us grace and mercies, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Lead us, Lord, to your lost sheep, O Father.
Amen.
Lord Jehovah God, just be merciful, Father. We Please, thank Lord. You for all that was said and done upon this day.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the musicians, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, bless them each one.
Amen.
Father God, we thankful, Lord, for the Sunday school.
Amen.
Lord, what a blessing it is to us continually.
Yes, Lord.
Father, bless our brother, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, we thankful, Lord, so much for your word which you ministered
yes,
to us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, how faithful you are, Lord, that when we leave our homes and ask you to speak to us, Lord,
yes, Lord.
You always speak unto us, O God. Father, we're so thankful for that. We're thankful for our pastor, O Lord. Father God, for his faithfulness to your words. We thank you for, Lord, opening up the word to him. We thank you for the wisdom you give him, Lord. Father, we thank you for his family, even, O God, who stand behind him in support. Please continue to bless him, Lord. Father God, we pray and ask now as we leave your house, Lord, but knowing, Lord, that you are going with us.
Amen.
Lord Jehovah God, for you said your angel encamps around those that, Lord Jehovah God, trust in thee, O Lord, yes, and hold Lord. Upon thee, Father.
Yes, Lord.
So be with us, O God. Give us traveling mercies, Lord. Be with us in our homes, Lord Jehovah God. Be Amen. With those that couldn't make it for the afternoon service where they are.
Please,
we
Lord.
Pray grace upon them, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we give thanks to you once again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen, saints. Amen. Saints, normal service on Wednesday, just to say, it's Wednesday normal service. God bless. Let's sing one more prayer as we dismiss, yeah?
Sing Roots Decider. Amen.
Amen.
Entreat me not to leave thee, to return from following thee. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will go. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. There will I be buried. Lord, do so to me. Party and me, root deciding, root serving, root rewarded, root resting, root deciding, root serving, root rewarded, root resting. My kinsman redeemer is the Lord of the harbor. Drop handful once in a while. Don't let her tire. Tell her the message. Holy Spirit, cover and encourage. Do some kind of healing among you. Tell her Jesus Christ is Lord. If you can find grace, you found grace. Oh, as the Lord of the harvest.
The Lord of the harvest.